Excited about a great 2025. Excited about that. I'm very optimistic, and I don't want to get ahead of myself for the message, but I'm very optimistic about this year. Not just, you know, I think politically there's a good feeling in the air with the change that's coming. But you know what? The politics are politics. And poly meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. So we understand that whole thing. I don't care which party's in control. Our system is designed that no one party is going to swing it a lot one way or the other. So it ain't driven about politics, but I do have we're heading maybe a little bit more in the right direction. But this nation needs the Lord, amen?
Amen.
That's what this nation needs. It's not Trump in the White House. That's not going to turn our nation around. What will turn our nation around is revival in this country. And we can keep praying for that, but our job as believers is we got to do something about that. We can't just sit back and hope it's going to come. Maybe we need to be the spark that brings revival. But I'm excited about 2025. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. I'm excited as we look back. We're just at the early part of last month when we had our State of the Church address, and we looked at what God has done in our midst in 2024. And then if you really look back over the many years, I can look back and see what God's done here in the 7 years that I've been here. But we can go back further than that. And I can look around right now and see men in this congregation that God prepared for us right now. I see men in our congregation that God's preparing right now for what's coming ahead. Look, I'm not going to be here forever. No amens, okay? I'm not going to be here forever. If the Lord tarries, there'll be a time I won't be your pastor, you know, and there's a time Raymond won't be an elder and John won't be an elder and these deacons won't be deaconing. There's going to be a whole new group of people. If we look around to 7 years back, there are a lot of people that were here 7 years ago that aren't here now. And there's a whole lot of you who weren't here 7 years ago that are here now. And God's doing something amazing in our church, and I'm excited about that. Well, this is the first Sunday, obviously, of the new year, and what we've done with that, I think every year since I've been here, we did this thing called the plow service. And this really, listen, any good idea I have, if it's a bad idea, it's usually mine. If I have a good idea, it's not mine, okay? It came from somewhere else. But this is a very special service for me personally, because at a time where I really felt the Lord's calling in my life, and man, I had left my job. I jumped out of the plane without a parachute. Gina was pregnant. We'd moved back to Georgia. Didn't even have a place to live. Moved back in with my mom for a few weeks until we could find a place. We were trying to figure out what it was God wanted us to do, but I was absolutely thoroughly convinced that the Lord was going to use me. And I had an idea. I knew exactly what it was going to be. I knew already what it was going to be, and it ended up wasn't nothing to do with that. The Lord called me somewhere else. But we were at the church where I first served in ministry. We were there, and the first Sunday of the year, we'd been there about a month, and the first Sunday of the year, that Sunday night, and the church is running, there's probably 350 people on a Sunday night, and they had these plows set up on stage. And the pastor preached a message. I say it was Sunday night. It might have been Sunday morning. But he preached the message about, it was just a challenge for the new year. And he used the passage from Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And it was exactly where Gina and I were at that time in our life. Lord, use us. We want to put our hand to the plow. We want to do whatever it is you want us to do. And so as we're in that service, and what they would do is at each plow, he'd have a deacon or two would be there, and people would come up, and they'd put their hand to the plow and just have a time of prayer, you know, prayer for the new year. What do you want to see God do in your life? Pray for me about this issue or this, whatever it was, they could come up and do that. We're not going to do that this year. We're going to do a little different this year, but I wanted to have the plow up here for you to see this. But in that service, it was in that service that the pastor was just kind of making his way through the congregation as people were going down to pray, and Gina and I were sitting there, and I met the pastor, and we had a one-minute conversation. And from that one-minute conversation, God began a journey of putting me on staff at that church. I mean, I didn't send them a resume or anything. It was just a miracle of God. It was his work, what he had done. I could tell you the whole story, but obviously from that, that was a very special service to me. But even sitting there watching as people prayed and the commitment to this next year. And so this is what we're doing this morning. This is a time, as we begin this first service of 2025, is looking ahead. And really, it's about, it should be a time of self-reflection. And you know, Lord, what do I need to fix in my life? What do I need to adjust in my life? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to do better for you? How can I walk more in line with what you would want me to do? We should be evaluating that. Now, I don't know about you. I don't make New Year's resolutions. Resolutions are made to be broken. I saw something the other day that said the second Friday of January is quit day. It's national quit day. And the guy said, look it up. I haven't looked it up, but I have a feeling if I look it up, it's true. That, you know, somebody sent me something yesterday. It was a little thing this guy was talking about, the gym. He said, it's amazing. We're so happy for all you people who've committed to the gym this year and got a gym membership. And we'll suffer through the next 2 weeks of you in the gym, and then we'll see you next year. It was that kind of thing. And he says, you know, if people have headphones on, they really don't want to talk to you. And if they have the little bitty earbuds in, you know what? They don't want to talk to you either. So that kind of thing. Well, you make all these commitments at the start of the year, and we make resolutions. I'm not about resolutions. I like to make goals. I set goals. I like to make commitments. Commitment's different than a resolution. I resolve to do this. Resolutions, again, are made to be broken. But I commit to this. I commit to something. I make set goals in my life for things I want to do. And that's what this first part of the year is a clean slate. One of my pastors used to say it was great because, you know, you tear that off, and, man, it's a brand new year. There ain't nothing on it. It ain't marred up with our sin. It ain't marred up with our failures. It's a chance to just kind of reboot and reset and refocus, and that's what we want to do this morning. Amen? Amen. So let's have a word of prayer as we get started with the message this morning. Our Father God, thank you again for this wonderful time to gather together as the body of Christ here in Geneva. Lord, I don't presume that this church is the only believers in this community, but Lord, there's a large number of the believers that are in this community or in this church, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning, those that will be in the 11 o'clock. Lord, I'm thankful for all that you brought into this place. You have just blessed us in an amazing way, and we're grateful for that. Lord, as we begin 2025, and the message this morning really is a look back and then a look forward of what we can do to have a great 2025 as a congregation, but it really is individuals. I pray you'll bless. Lord, give me clarity in my thoughts and speech now, and just use this message, Lord. I've done obediently what you've told me to do in preparing and praying, and I pray now that you'll anoint the teaching this morning, the preaching this morning, and that folks that are sitting here this morning don't hear me, they hear you. But Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will move on all of our hearts. There's not a one of us in this room, me first, that is where we need to be with you. Not a one of us. There's not a one of us in this room that can't walk closer to you, that can't be more obedient to you. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll do the work that you want to do in our hearts today, that we'll be obedient to respond to whatever it is you speak to our hearts about. Father, just bless and move now, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it's amazing, as we've been in the book of John, and we'll be in the book of John again this morning. We're going to look at verses 35 through 42. But it's been amazing as we've gone through this book that, you know, I told you at Christmas, I didn't really preach special Christmas messages this year, because John chapter 1, every message basically was a Christmas message. It was about the incarnation of the Son of God, and it was an incredible time. And so this morning, as I came to these passages, I go, this time falls right in with where we're at and what we want to do this morning with our plow service. So let me just say this, that God has blessed us as a church, amen?
Amen?
He's blessed us. Our church is grounded unapologetically on the Word of God.
Right.
Our church is debt-free.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
Our church has wonderful fellowship and great unity.
Yep.
Those aren't givens. Yep. In fact, it's amazing, I think sometimes the world around us has better unity than a lot of churches. There's no unity. I ain't going to say most because I don't know, but a lot of churches don't have great unity. We have a beautiful, newly renovated and remodeled sanctuary to worship in. I walked in this morning and I just thought, you know what? We were in a beautiful sanctuary Sunday, but I'll take what we have here. I love it. We have a great place to worship. It's warm. It's inviting. It's comfortable. You know, it's not 1985. I love it. I love it. It's just, it's wonderful. We have land to grow on. God has blessed us and provided way back, has provided for us today with land to grow on. We have wonderful facilities to utilize for further growth. Okay? We'll be talking about that, I'm sure, very soon. We're going to be talking about lids on our growth. Our biggest lid on our growth was this sanctuary. When you had 220 seats in here, and that was it, with one service, and we weren't going to get more than 80, 85% in here. It just wasn't going to happen. Now that's not a lid now. We have the opportunity. We can grow. We could grow to as much as 400 in our two services now, easily. That's easily grow to 400 with our two services. That's not the lid on our growth. We have great facilities. We've got educational space. We've still got room and places that we could meet over here. We can do some things. But that's quickly becoming a real challenge and maybe a limit on our growth. So we've got land growing. We've got great facilities. God has sent us leaders. There are leaders that have come to our church. Amen? We've seen that. But God has also grown up leaders here in our midst, having Kevin come and pray. I apologize, Kevin. I haven't had you pray before. I know I've had you pray over there on Wednesday nights. Kevin's a little shy. He's a little quiet guy. But I think he's a little reserved in that way. But you heard him pray.
Amen.
Powerful.
Yep.
Powerful. I apologize. I haven't had you pray before, Kevin. But Kevin's one of those that's grown up in this church and has just, he's just matured and continued to grow in his faith, growing as a husband, as a father. We see that all over our congregation. Men that are growing as leaders. And they're going to have to, because they're going to have to step up and lead. God has grown our church with greater numbers, allowing for greater growth in every ministry. Nursery. I mean, we realize we're doing more ministry now than we've done in years. Maybe ever here. We're doing more ministry, but nursery, children's ministry, our teen ministry, adult ministry, worship, technology, safety, deacons, teachers, and many behind-the-scenes servants.
That's right.
I mean, we got more and more people that are able to, as we grow, are able then to fill those needs that come with a growing church. Do y'all realize, you know, you may think we're a small church in Geneva. We're not really a small church in Geneva anymore. We're averaging over 200 now. That's not a small church. Most churches in America, the majority of churches in America, a huge majority, I don't know what the number is, I should look it up. But the huge majority of churches are under 100. So we're not a small church. We're certainly not a mega church, and we're not a large church. We're somewhere in that in between. But at 200, we're at a different place. And we can't function at 200 the way we functioned at 135. But we can't function yet at 200 like we will at 300. But we're growing, and God continues to send people who can fill the gap and fill the needs in those areas of ministry. And there's constantly areas that need servants in. God has grown our church spiritually as our congregation has put down deeper roots and allowed the Lord to work in and through their lives. God has richly blessed us and grown our church over these past 149 years. Y'all realize that, right? August 15th, I think is the date. August 15th, this church will be 150 years old. 1875 to 2025, 150 years. You know what? We want to be faithful to doing what they set out to do in reaching this community. We want to continue to do that. And he has without a doubt positioned us for greater growth. There's no doubt. We've seen growth year after year after year. But all the things I just mentioned are just things that we look at and we see that God has prepared our church for greater growth. I mean, you talk about being debt-free, but we're financially, we're not strapped. God has provided for us. And he didn't do that just so that y'all are just so special. Those people that are here in 2024, 2025, you're so special, I'm just going to bless you. That's not why he did that. He's blessing faithfulness from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. He's blessing faithfulness here in Geneva in this church. And he's blessing it for what we do next. You know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, whoever's here speaking, I hope they're going, man, what they did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they were faithful. They preached the word. They trusted God. They followed the Lord. They were obedient to him. And that's why we're here today. Folks, there's a whole community of people who are future members of this church. There are people that ought to be in here right now. Man, the Lord's blessed us. But again, it's not just for us. It's so that we can go further and reach more before the Lord returns and gathers his church home.
Amen.
The day's coming. The day's coming. This may be the year. Amen?
Amen.
This may be the year. This month may be the month. Amen. This week may be the week. Today may be the day. Maranatha.
Amen.
Maranatha. Amen. The Lord Jesus comes. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready? And I pray this morning you are ready. But here's the question I ask for you as our church. If you're sitting here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're not ready. You're not ready for His return. And I pray that before this day's over, you'll be ready. That today would be a day of salvation for you. But I ask you this as a church. Are we ready for His return? Have we done all that He would have for us? Have we done all the Lord wants First Baptist Geneva to do? I shiver at the thought of us thinking that we've done enough. What a terrible thought that is. Yeah, we're good. You know, look at this sanctuary. I mean, just look at what we've done. Wow, we're at 200 now. Wow, great job. I shiver at that thought. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that way. Like because God's blessing, we've done enough. Or we're doing enough. Or there's nothing more we really ought to do or could do. Listen, no matter how much I've given, I can give more. No matter how much I've witnessed to other people, I can still tell more. No matter how much I've served, I can serve more. No matter how faithful and obedient I've been, I can be more faithful and more obedient. No matter how much I have loved God, I can love Him. I can love Him better. I can love Him deeper. And I can love Him truer. So our passage this morning, here first in John chapter 1, it gives us some great direction for 2025. So let's just jump right in and look at this. Point number one, if you make notes, you want to make notes, this is point number one. Say it again and again and again. Verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Now remember, if you go back and remember what we've already read here, that the day before, John had made the great proclamation that, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's in verse 29. That's, he sees Jesus coming, and that's the proclamation. He announces to Israel, to the nation of Israel, that here he is, here's your Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He makes that proclamation. And then in verse 35, it's the next day. So the very next day, we see in verse 36, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, it doesn't appear that any decisions were made the day before. We don't see in Scripture that a multitude of people were moved and they followed Jesus and they began to... There was none. We don't read any of that. Now, we don't know whether there were or not, but we don't read any of that. We don't see. It doesn't appear that anyone moved with the message of that day. I don't know. They might have been shocked. They might have been like trying to process it. But the very next day, what does John do? John stands up and he says again, as he sees Jesus walking with two disciples standing there right next to him, behold, the Lamb of God. So none followed the Lamb that John had proclaimed. So what did John do that next day? He preached the same message. He said it again. Church, here's the challenge for us this year. Say it again. Say it again. The gospel is simple. Say it again and again and again. That the Son of God became a man to die in the place of sinful man, rose from the dead, and offers eternal life to all who believe. The gospel is simple. It wasn't easy, but it's simple. Say it again. My challenge is this. Don't tire of the simple message of the gospel. We get tired sometimes. I've had people, when I worked with FCA, we were having meetings. Every time we had a meeting, we had kids in there. You realize we had different kids every time. Every time they gathered together, it was a different group. It wasn't like a church congregation. There might be 25 kids one week and a different 25 the next week. And so I tell them, look, we've got to give the gospel every week. Every week? We should give the gospel every time? Absolutely. I said, you don't know when that's the only time that they're going to hear the gospel. That's why we give the gospel, every week. I challenge you to find a message where I haven't in some way or another presented the simple gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a simple message, but we should speak it again and again and again and again. Don't grow tired. Don't tire of the simple message of the gospel. Don't grow discouraged of those you share with. Don't respond. Well, I've shared the gospel with them. It's on them now. That's not where we should be. Man, if you get a chance to share it, share it. If you get a chance, share it again, share it again. Well, I don't want to offend them. Well, it's better to offend them now than them be offended for all of eternity in hell because you didn't tell them again. It's our job to tell. It's God's job to save. Our job is just to tell. No one made decisions yesterday. So John says it again. And today, too, Two really of his disciples that stood there beside him, two of his disciples then followed Jesus. They listened to what John had to say. So don't ever let your response, listen, don't ever let your response to no response be to stop proclaiming. Don't let your response to no response be that you stop proclaiming. Well, you know, I've shared the gospel and nobody responds. I've shared it at work and nobody's answered. Don't stop sharing. Don't stop telling. Don't stop going. Don't ever give up. You don't know. John could have said, hey, I told him yesterday, there he is. There he is. My job's done. I was told to introduce him to them, and I've done it. I told him who he is. I told him where he is. My job's done. I'm out of here. Mic drop. No. What did John do? The next day, he's right back there. Preaching the same message. He's proclaiming Jesus to them. You never know when you speak truth, when you share the gospel, when you proclaim the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, someone may follow Jesus. I can promise you, if all you talk about is hunting and football, they're not going to follow Jesus. They're not going to make a salvation decision because Georgia and Notre Dame played a football game. And the Irish won. Jesus commanded us to go and tell. As we're going, make disciples, say it again and again and again. That's what we're to do. Number two, this year, we need to follow Jesus. We need to follow Jesus. Verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. They followed him. Now that word followed, it means this. It means to be in the same way with, i.e. example, to accompany, especially as a disciple. They followed. So here's what they did. John, who they're listening to and they're hanging out with and they're learning from, John says, behold the Lamb of God. That takes away the sin of the world. The next day, behold the Lamb of God. And these two men, and we're going to talk about them in a moment, but they hear him, and what do? John probably got upset. You know, man, here I am preaching, and then my congregation's leaving. No, he didn't get a bit upset. These two, what do? They follow the Lord. They go, and they follow Jesus. Oh, that we would be like these two. That we would follow Jesus. They heard John speak about Jesus and they followed Jesus. Now, will we listen to the voices in our lives that preach Jesus? Now, you have teachers in your small group. You have pastors, myself and Raymond and John and Pastor Aaron and speak Jesus into your life. We speak about the Lord. You have devotionals that you read that proclaim Jesus. You have books that you read, that the spiritual books you're reading that talk about Jesus. You listen to podcasts that talk about Jesus. You have friends that you discuss Jesus with. But more importantly, as you read your Bible and it talks about Jesus, how about we just follow Jesus? That's what they did. Simply, they just followed him. They got in line with him and they went where he went and they're following along. Will you follow Jesus today? If you don't know him as your Savior, will you follow him today for salvation? Will you turn from sin and self and turn to Jesus and believe on him for the saving of your soul? It's that simple. Follow Jesus. Believer, will you follow Jesus in a walk of full dedication? That word followed, again, it means to be in the same way. Same way, the same walk, to be in the same way with. Many say that they're following Jesus, but are far from walking in the same way with him. If you looked at our lives Sunday to Sunday, how many times do we say we're following Jesus, but I'm following Conrad. I'm following the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. I'm not really walking in the same way with Jesus. I'm doing my own thing. So you can't be walking with him when you're walking contrary to him. So the question is this year, will you fully dedicate yourself to him? Will the year of 2025 be a year you fully dedicate your walk, your life, your everything to him? And quit being that double-minded man that, man, I'm in the world over here, and I'm in Jesus over here, and I'm unbalanced and I'm unstable because it's like got a foot on two different boats and the water's moving. You're constantly unstable. You got to get on one or the other. And I promise you, the Lord would be like, get on my boat or get on that boat, but I don't want you on both boats. If you want to be over there in the world, go live in the world. I don't want you there. But if that's what you want, you go do that. Quit playing games. If you want to be with me, get on with me. Get on the boat with me. Focus on your walk with me. Walk with me. Follow me. These guys, they followed Jesus. Number three, great thing for us to do this year, it's going to help us to grow individually and help us grow as a church, is spend time with Jesus. Not just follow him, but spend time with him. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? Now I have to read this part in color. Because you go, here's John just said, here's the Lamb of God. So what do? They follow. Can you imagine these two guys are probably, I don't imagine they're like right on his tail. They're at a distance maybe, but they're following, they're watching him, they're wanting to see what they can learn. They haven't engaged with him yet. They're following along, and they're having conversation. What do you think? I mean, John said that he's the Lamb of God. And they're having this. You got to read it in color, okay? This is what I see. Now, I may be absolutely wrong here, but I'm watching this, and they're kind of following along, and Jesus turns around. He turns, he sees them, and he says, hey, what do you seek? You know, it's kind of like when you see these things where you ever got like zoned out and you're looking at somebody and you didn't realize it and they're like, hey, what's your problem? What? Well, you're staring at me. Oh, I didn't realize I was staring, you know. I didn't know, you know. So they're kind of zoned out. And the Lord says, what do you seek? And I can see them. They go, where are you staying? Do y'all not find that an odd question? Do y'all not find that an odd question? I think it's a very odd question that here's the Lamb of God, and he turns around and says, what do you seek? And they're like, but well, guys, it's us when we're 12, and the girl we like says, What are you looking at? It's Michael Jordan on the phone. Hey, tell David that Michael Jordan returned his call. Okay, it was me. I relate to that. They're caught off guard. They were seeking the Messiah. They wanted to see if Jesus truly was the Messiah. And this unexpected thing happens. He turns and confronts them. And so they heeded John's proclamation, but they didn't just take his word for it. Now, I love that. They didn't just go, oh, well, there's the Messiah. That's him. No, what happened? John says, behold the Lamb of God. And what do? They start to follow him. They start to watch. Folks, that's what we ought to be doing. They wanted to know for themselves, is this really the Messiah? Is this really him? Is this really the Lamb of God? They wanted to know. They didn't know what to ask. They didn't know how to ask. I'm not making fun of these guys, because that would be me. Where are you staying? But Jesus understood, and he's patient with them. And he said to them, verse 39, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. So it's about 4 in the afternoon. They go and they spend the rest. It sounds as though they spent the rest of the evening with him. They went to where he was staying. He probably prepared them a meal. We don't read any of this, but we understand that they stayed with him. They saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. So it means they stayed through and they stayed there. As I read this, I understand this, stayed through the night. They probably sat up, you know, so here's what they did. They went with him. They stayed with him. They talked to him. They listened to him. They observed him. And they learned from him. And ultimately, they were convinced that he was the Messiah. They didn't take John's word for it. They went and spent time with Jesus themselves. And they asked him questions. They hung out with him. They talked to him. They listened to him. They were with him. That's how they learned for themselves who he was. Will you pursue Jesus and spend time with him? Get to know him. Listen, you got to get to know Jesus, not just know about Jesus. There's a difference. Now, if you've been in my office, I got a Herschel Walker jersey. University of Georgia, 19, it's signed 82 Heisman Trophy, number 34, Herschel Walker, my childhood hero. He just got appointed as the ambassador to the Bahamas. I think it's pretty cool. I know Herschel. I could tell you when I was a teenager, I could tell you his stats for every game. I could tell you he had like 1,620 yards or something his freshman year. As a freshman, should have won the Heisman that year. Should have won it the next year, but I'm a little biased. See, I knew Herschel. 3 years of that. Then he goes to the USFL. And then when that's kind of folding, he ends up with the Dallas Cowboys. And then they trade him to the Minnesota Vikings, the super trade. He ends up bringing Dallas all these Super Bowl championships because they got like 100 players for Herschel in this crazy trade. Then Herschel went from there. He went to Philadelphia. And then, if I'm not mistaken, he might have wound up at Dallas again at the very end of his career. I'm not going to swear to that. But then he goes, and he wanted to be an FBI agent. He did ballet dancing. Herschel. In his little... whatever they wear, did ballet. He was on the Olympic bobsled team. He's done MMA fighting, and he even considered, you know, being a coming back to the NFL at the age of 50. So I know Herschel Walker. I know him. But if Herschel Walker walked in this room right now and I went over to him and said, "Hey man, how you doing?" He'd be like, "Hey, back up, Jack. I don't know you." See, I know about Herschel, but I don't know Herschel. So there's a lot of people that sit in church who know about Jesus. They can tell you everything about Jesus. They know all the stories about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. The problem is not they don't know Jesus. The problem is Jesus doesn't know them because they've never truly been born again. They've never truly come into a relationship with him. They know a lot about him, but they don't know him. There's a big difference. And see, even us as believers, what we've got to do is we've got to get in there close to him and get to know him. And we do that through his word. We do that through praying. And then what you can do is you can be fully assured yourself of who he really is. Not taking somebody else's word for it. Not just, well, they said it. You know, listen, here's the last thing you need to do. Pastor Conrad said it, so I believe it. No, 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 no. Pastor Conrad said it. I'm going to go back and look and see. I'm going to verify. I'm going to look. I want to know for myself. One of the best things you can do if you're witnessing to somebody is open up the Word of God. Don't tell them the Word says this. Show them in the Word of God where it says that. You want to help somebody? Show them that that's what the Word says. Don't tell them. Show them. And it's not you, it's him. Learn from him. Learn of him, but learn from him. Don't just take someone else's word for who Jesus is. Don't just take someone else's word for how good Jesus is. Don't just enjoy the passion and love someone else has for Jesus. You understand that part? Here's what we do sometimes. We share. We enjoy someone else's passion. Oh, man, they're passionate about the Lord. Man, they love the Lord. And you know what? We connect with that. Like, man, that's awesome. Why are we enjoying their passion with the Lord? Why don't we want that for ourselves? We should want that type of passion for ourselves, that type of relationship. And that comes from spending time with him. We're with him. Spend time with him. Talk to him. Listen to him. Watch him. Learn from him. Watch him. How do you watch him? Read the Gospels. We got eyewitness accounts of what he did. You can watch Jesus. You can see what he does. You can learn from him. Grow in your conviction of who he is, the Son of God. But also grow in your love for him. Well, I love Jesus. Well, I hope you love Jesus more today than you did a year ago. I hope you love him more today than you did the day you got saved. Because the more you know of him, the greater you'll love him. And I've told you, our love isn't dependent on, you know, like age or time. Our love for God is dependent on the more we know of what he did for us, the more we understand what it cost him to save our soul, our love grows. So we don't love him more until you understand him more. You won't love him more until you understand better what he did for you. And you learn that by spending time with him. Number four, go and bring others to Jesus. That's what we got to do, folks. All these things, these are things that we can do individually, but as a church. Well, preacher, preach it again. Say it again. That's good. Preacher, you do that. No. Don't miss this. That's for all of us.
That's right.
Every one of us in here, if you're a born-again believer, you have a call and a mandate to go and tell.
That's right.
So say it again. Preach the gospel. You have an audience with people that I'll never, never, ever be in front of. You can't put it on the preacher. That is not my job. Now, I'll help any way I can, but you have a circle of influence that is your circle of influence, and you are to tell. Say it again. You are to follow Jesus, just like I'm to follow Jesus. You're to spend time with Jesus, just like I'm to spend time with Jesus. And this fourth thing is to go and bring others to Jesus. And it's what all of us can do and should do. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother. Look what he did. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. It might be six of the greatest words ever written. And he brought him to Jesus. 40 years ago, a teenage boy named Barry Bailey brought me to Jesus. Suckered me into coming down. I walked a half mile to go play basketball. And I got down there, and I don't think we ever shot a single hoop. I don't think we did. I got down there, and it was a trap. It's the best trap I ever fell into. But he asked me, he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" And I said, "Well, I hope I'd go to heaven." And he said, "Well, you know, you don't have to hope. You can know." And he sat me down and we walked through the gospel. He shared with me. He told me the truth. God's convicted my heart that I was a sinner and I need to be saved. And right there on his living room floor, we knelt down at a recliner right there. And I prayed and I confessed my sin and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And that day he saved my soul.
Amen.
40 years ago. Because Barry Bailey cared enough to bring me to Jesus. Now he couldn't save me, but he brought me to Jesus. Andrew was fully convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't say, "I think we found the Messiah." He didn't say, "This Jesus, he might be the Messiah." He said, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. What is interesting right here in this passage is that we don't read, or at least he may have said it, but we don't read it in here. But we don't read where Jesus told Andrew to go bring others. We don't read that. It wasn't like he spent the night and he said, "All right, now, boys, y'all go out and it's like an Amway thing. You go out and you find five friends and you bring them in and we'll get this network marketing thing going, okay? Y'all get that going and we'll get this. You bring five friends and then they'll bring five friends and they'll bring, and we'll grow this thing." That's not what he did. We don't see that. Now, he may have told them, but I don't think he told him. Because here's what I believe. I believe that the natural reaction when we truly come to understand who Jesus is, when we come to faith in him, we can't help but tell others about him. We just can't help it. We can't wait to share the good news. Let's say there's this person who has cancer. And this person who has cancer, he's looking around, he finds this doctor. And this doctor is doing revolutionary new things. And he's come up with this new treatment. And this doctor cures his cancer. And the doctor says, "I can cure cancer. I can cure it. We've got the answers now. We can cure it." He cures this man of cancer. And that man leaves there. And what do you think if he left there and didn't try to bring others who were suffering from cancer? What would you think of that? You know, he's been cured. It's an incurable cancer. And he goes to this doctor. This good doctor helps him and cures the cancer. He leaves there. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to go out and he's going to be looking for those who have cancer. "Hey, man, I don't know. Do you have cancer? Do you have cancer? Do you have cancer? Hey, come with me. Come with me. You got to meet this guy." Isn't that what we would expect? That great news, you know, that's what you would expect. What would you do? You'd tell everybody, right? I would tell everybody. If you ain't got cancer, one day you may get cancer, and you're going to need this guy. You got to know who this guy is. You got to know this doctor. I'd tell everybody that. You know, you'd be looking for those with cancer and telling them about this good doctor that could cure their disease, right? You'd do that. Would you? Hello? Good morning.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Would you tell somebody?
Yes.
Okay. What would you think of someone who wouldn't tell others about that cure? Good word. Selfish. What would you think of that? Man, that's one of the best people I know in life. They got the cure of cancer and they didn't tell anybody. What a wonderful salt to the earth guy. Is that what you would think? No, we would think self. We think, how could you do that? How could you know and not tell everybody else about it? Why aren't you at the cancer center handing out cards as they walk in the door? What would you think of someone who would keep that truth to themselves? We wouldn't think very highly of that person, would we? Wouldn't think very much of that person, would we? Now, I'm not trying to beat us up, because I'm in this. But then I just tell you, we do the very same thing. We do the very same thing, only it's infinitely worse. It's infinitely worse because we don't tell lost people about Jesus. We've been saved. We say we believe in an eternal hell. And I've been saved from that eternal hell by the grace of God. And I go and I live my life because, you know, God wants me to be happy. And I just go live my life and praise God. Praise God, I'm saved. Praise God, I'm saved. Glad I'm not like him, that lost person over there. Folks, we do the very same thing when we don't tell people about Jesus. Well, you know, they won't believe me. So what if they don't believe me? I'm going to tell them anyway. So what if they laugh at me? You ever been laughed at? Raise your hand if you've ever been laughed at for your faith. Not just laughed at, but for your faith. You've been laughed at. Okay? There's some in here. That's not fun. I remember as a teenager going and witnessing. We were going door to door inviting kids to come to VBS. And we went to this one door, and this woman laughed us. I've read that. They laughed to scorn. I think that was, I understood it. I understand that. She laughed. She was on the phone, and she was just going off to this person on the phone about these weirdos at the door wanting to invite our kids to church. I mean, she was just laughing and mocking everything. You know what? You know what? So what if they laugh at me? I know what he did for me. He died for me. He saved me. I'm going to tell them anyway. So what if they mock and ridicule me and make fun of me and talk bad about me? Well, you know, I have to be careful what I say on the job. Because, you know, I want people to like me, and that way I'll have opportunity to tell them. But you don't tell them. If you don't tell them, what does it matter whether they like you or not? If they're lost, that's what matters. Are you with me this morning? If we've got the cure, if we've really been saved, we've really been saved from this horrible thing, how can we not share it with everybody? Man, they'll make fun of me. They're going to talk bad about me. I know what Jesus can do for them. He died for them. He can save them. So I'm going to tell them anyway. Pastor Aaron and Jim, if you'll come. Luke 9, we'll get to verse 62, but Luke 9, verse 57 through 62 says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" I've heard those statements. Commitment that I'm walking with Jesus. I'm here. I've heard that out of voices that are not here today, that are not in church today. "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.'" Now, as I've studied that, You read that and you think, boy, Jesus was really cold-hearted. They wouldn't even let him go to the funeral. The understanding of that isn't that the man was going to bury his father because his father was dead. He was saying, let me go back until my father dies. Let me go back. And the idea is, when my father dies, I'll get an inheritance, and then I can afford to follow you. I'll be okay. I'll be well off. I'll get my money. I'll be okay then. Jesus just said, look, let the dead bury the dead. Let those who are dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. What you hear here is, again and again and again, is conditions. It's conditions to me following the Lord. Well, Lord, I'll follow you when I can afford it. I'll follow you when I retire. I'll follow you when this works out. I'll follow you if this. No, that's not what God wants. He says, follow me. And what he wants is the same thing I wanted for my kids. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. They would have understood perfectly. When you plowed, you couldn't plow a straight row if you're looking back. You couldn't be focused on what you were doing if you were always thinking about, well, what if I had done this? What if I hadn't done that? What if I wasn't? What would it be like if I was back home? What would it be like if I had taken that job? What would it be like if I wasn't in this situation? He says, don't do that. Put your hand to the plow and focus on what you're doing. Follow me. Church, will you put your hand to the plow and not look back in 2025? We follow Jesus and put aside distractions and delays and detours. We spend more time with Him, learning more of Him, learning more from Him. And you do that by reading the Bible and studying the Bible. He's given us everything we need. Just got to spend time there. Spend time with Him in prayer. You know, what's great is you can share your heart with the Lord in prayer. You can tell Him everything that's going on in your life. Everything. He already knows it. Just share with Him. And then listen as He speaks to your heart. Faithfully attend church. Pastor Aaron, thank you for that message last week. Amen. Challenge. The importance of attending church. Being faithful to church. Faithfully attend your church. Attend small groups. Attend opportunities to grow in the Word of God. You know what? That ball game's more important. Whether I'm playing or watching or it's a ball game on TV, or you know what? It's a good Sunday to go fishing. Or you know what? I got tickets to Disney today. You know what? We can't go to church. Well, it'd be great if we had excuses for everything else because of church. But it seems that we have excuses for church because of everything else. Well, that doesn't affect my walk with God. Oh, I believe it does. I believe it does. We seek out others to bring to Jesus. Family and friends. You know, that aunt that needs Jesus, that parent that's hard to talk to. Well, you just don't understand. I can't talk to them. They get mad. Well, so what? So what? You do it in grace. You do it with patience, but do it. That niece that's walking in sin, neighbors and coworkers, even fellow shoppers. You say, what? Witness, yeah, you know what? Walmart, usually you're going to have a few minutes if you're there. You can stand, and you can stand there while you're waiting in line, and they're all frustrated, and you can have a different demeanor, and you can get in a conversation real quick about Jesus. Fellow spectators, stand around watching this or watching that. How about a good conversation about Jesus? Folks, you'll never regret talking to people about Jesus. You'll never regret that. There's not one spiritual conversation I've ever had that I go back and go, boy, I just wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I told that guy about the Lord. I shared with him about salvation. I really wish I hadn't done it. Not one time have I said that. But I can just tell you this. If you don't, once they're gone, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. There's probably some in here who would say right now,
I regret that I did not share the gospel with this person. I didn't do it. I could have, I should have, and I ought to have, but I didn't. So here's a challenge for you. Would you commit with me this year to have one meaningful conversation about Jesus per week? One per week. Now, if you don't have it this week, don't quit and say, well, I dropped the ball this week, so I'm done. No. Here's the commitment, is to seek to have one meaningful spiritual conversation per week. If it's someone at Home Depot as you're looking at lumber, if it's someone at Walmart, if someone in your family, if it's a neighbor, it's a coworker, wherever, find those opportunities. Would you commit to that? Now here's the thing, 52 weeks. 52 weeks. That's 52 conversations. Let's go with 120. I don't know exactly right now what our membership is, but it's close to 120. 110 to 120 is my guess. Let's say it's 220. Let's say 220. 220 members, 52 conversations. That's 11,440 gospel conversations in 2025. Now, I don't have any idea what God would do with that. Only God knows what he would do through that kind of a witness, a faithful witness. Can you imagine how many people might be sitting here next year at this time that this year came to faith in Christ if we have 11,440 conversations this year? And go back to what Kevin Clark shared with us about praying for Bob. Well, how do I do that, preacher? How do I have those conversations? Well, it starts with a burden. Because if you're listening to me right now and you're going, I ain't doing that. Number one, I think you need to check your heart. Number two, if you're not interested in this, you won't do it. So the first thing you got to have is a burden. That is, I care about lost people. That there are people out there who need Jesus, and I need to go find them. And I need to bring them to Jesus. That's what I need to do. So you need to pray for a burden. And then you pray for opportunity. If you have a burden for souls and you pray for opportunity, I promise you, unequivocally, I promise you, I believe on the authority of God's word, he's going to give you opportunity. Why? Because he wants you to have a burden. If you pray for a burden, you're going to have a burden. If you pray for opportunity, he's putting opportunities in front of you all the time. You just don't see them. But if you pray for a burden and you get a burden and then you pray for opportunities, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start seeing those opportunities. And then pray for boldness to take advantage of that opportunity. Folks, we're not blessed here to just have a great place for us to come worship. We ought to see, we're positioned as a church to see phenomenal growth in the near future. We really are. We don't have I can't think of a single thing, Raymond, that we would go, well, but. There's not a single thing that I can think of that we go, well, you know, we could grow, but. There's not a single thing prohibiting that unless we don't go out and witness. But if we'll get that burden, we could look around next year and there'd be 20 more people in this room. And they'd be testifying, praise God. Praise God. I have met the Lord. His greatest thing in my life. 2025, what a year at the praise service. I met Jesus this year. Because Melinda Griffith, she just took the time to share the gospel with me. Because Jesse, on the job, Jesse, we were working on these power lines, and Jesse said, man, do you go to church? Do you know Jesus? And just started talking to me about the Lord, and I got saved. It's a commitment that for each of us, those are commitments we can make. All of that. Say it again. Follow Jesus, spend time with Jesus, and go and bring others to Jesus. What are we going to do with that? Now, this morning I don't have the plows all set up like we've done in the past. I'm going to ask you to get in the line and come down and put your hand to the plow. I would encourage you, if you want to today, at some point after the service, before the next service, in between services, whenever, if you want to come put your hand to the plow, maybe take a picture and go, you know what, this is my goal for this year, is I'm going to put my hand to the plow. Maybe you make that your screensaver. So every time you open it, you're reminded, this year I'm putting my hand to the plow and I'm not looking back. This morning we're going to have a response time here. Invitation. I'm inviting you. The response time is this. Pastor, and I'm going to ask you, if you lead us, but I'm going to ask us not to, I don't want us to sing this morning. They're going to lead us. There should be an attitude of prayer this morning. And this altar, this is an altar. We're not filming this one. We don't film the next one. We don't film the altar time anymore. We don't show that. So if you're worried about coming and leaning down or whatever, and they're filming, and we're not doing that, okay? Man, that was a really good time to make some commitments. Not resolutions. Some commitments to the Lord. Lord, I want to do this better. I want to do this better. I want to do this better. Or I want to do this better. Or maybe the whole shebang. Lord, I want 2025 to be the greatest year of my life spiritually. I want to walk with you closer than I've ever walked. I want to serve you more faithfully. I want to be obedient to you. I want to win somebody to the Lord this year. I want to win multiple somebodies to the Lord this year. Whatever it may be, whatever God would put on your heart. And I invite you to move and to come and respond. Respond. If you can't do that, that's fine. You can sit right there. But I encourage you, there's something about moving in the invitation and coming to the altar and talking to God and making that commitment. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge to our hearts this morning from it. And Lord, I've done what I believe you have commanded me to do. And Lord, I pray that you will do what only you can do. Speak to our hearts, and may we respond, Lord, obediently and accordingly to what you are speaking to us about. Lord, may we deal with you this morning on whatever it is you're dealing with us on. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.